He would feed all the south. You see, it doesn't mean that one who doesn't inform you beforehand, he is not a guest. Even if he appears unexpectedly, still he is a guest. But those who appear expectedly, they are relatives. But those who appear unexpectedly, they are guests. So in this way, if one anyhow appears out of his own will, then he is a sadhu. He appears to deliver the fallen. See, the sadhus, they're only thinking about the welfare of others. Wherever they are, they bring Bhagwan to that place. There's no need to even go anywhere else. Because sadhu is always thinking, how can I think about the welfare of these fallen conditioned souls? They will not come on their own, so we ourselves will go there. He'll come everywhere if you don't call him. Because the entire world belongs to Vasudev. The whole world is his family. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. And those who consider themselves to be servants, they are servants. And those who do not, are not really servants. This will be destroyed then. He will not follow Prabhu. Not only follow Prabhu's parikars, the bhaktas. Therefore, what the sadhus do? Even if anyone doesn't call them, still they will go door to door, house to house. Why? Once one sadhu, he went to one householder's house. This householder was very wealthy. He was not opening the door. He was knocking, knocking, knocking. He said, how long will you close the door, not open it? He opened the door. Why are you so fearful? I'm not the quiet. I'll steal everything away from you. He said, come out of this prison. Where are you imprisoned? In this house of yours. Anyhow, he opened the door. Then he say, this landlord, he said, oh, Babaji, you're virakta, you're a sannyasi, you're detached. Why should you come to the house of us vishayis? We're bogais, vishayis, we're worms in hell. Why should a sannyasi like you come to our home? Very impure place. You should not come to such a dirty place like our house. Because we've renounced everything. So therefore, you should not come to fallen souls like us. Then Maharaji said, I'm not renounced. You are renounced actually. Then he said, how am I renounced? He said, I've come to see a renounced person like you. He said, I'm not a Tyagi. I'm a Bhogi actually, I enjoy. So his landlord was thinking, how am I Tyagi? Will he make me a sannyasi like him? He has so many others, but why does he want me to become a sannyasi? Saying, Maharaj, how am I sannyasi? I have a house, I have children, I have a garden. And he said, you see, this Parameshwar, Param Brahma, you've renounced him, therefore you're a Tyagi. Because you have renounced Bhagavan himself, therefore you are renounced. You see, I am a prince. I am his servant. Therefore, I am enjoying all the facilities that he has to offer. Therefore, how am I renounced? You are renounced. You have renounced him. You see, everything is for me. Prabhu is mine. The world is mine. Everything is mine. Therefore, I am the biggest enjoyer and you are the most renounced. Because you renounced even Bhagavan himself. Therefore, what else do you have? Therefore, I've come to give you this wealth. He said, you're only a landlord in name. Only your stomach is big. I've only come to see renounced people like you. And he said, no, this sadhu is very intelligent. I cannot chase him away. So what should I do? So then he said, Baba, here. Okay, I'll also give you something. Take something. just leave me here, don't stay longer. So how will I go? As long as you haven't offered yourself at the lotus feet of Prabhu, I will not go. You see, you left Prabhu. You're a big fool. You see, all these others, will they be by your side forever? As long as you have this blood within you, they will use you. And once you become weak, then they will not care for you. They'll throw you out. You know all these things. Because, see, the heart of sadhu is like butter. You see, he's not anyone's servant. He will not flatter anyone. Therefore, the sadhu, how is he? He has this sattvastu. He gives this sattvastu. He gives these divine qualities. So even Ambarish Maharaj, he saw Durvasa Rishi, he said, oh, I'm so fortunate, he has come on his own. Because the Rishis, they don't eat, drink anything. They're very austere. And Maharaj Ambarish also, see, the sadhus, they're only surviving on this Bhagavatras. Wherever they go according to their desire. Then Durvasa Rishi came and said, oh, Ambarish Maharaj, now the time for Paran has come. Make everything ready. So everything's ready. All the Brahmins have come. Rishis, all the Maharishis. So let me go bathe and come. So then he went to bathe on the banks of the Yamuna. Ambarish Maharaj, he came to this Madhupuri. His capital was Astinapur, Delhi. So then the whole day of Ekadashi, do Harikirtan, Yagya, Harikatha. Whole day everyone would come, all the citizens, everyone follow Ekadashi. Whole night they'd be awake. In the morning, he'd bathe in the Yamuna and then do Anik, feed all the Brahmins, and then he'd take the remnants. In this way, Rasaraji went to bathe and still didn't come. Time for Paran was passing. Because once one does Ekadashi, then the proper time he should break his path, break his fast. Especially on the second half of Dwadashi, or else the fruit will be lost. So he didn't come. Then he asked all Santas Rishis, Maharishis, what should I do? Because no one will eat unless Durvasa Rishi will come. Because Durvasa Rishi, he was like the godfather of all the sadhus. Very feared amongst all the sadhus. So everyone was scared. Therefore they were waiting for him. Then the Brahmin told Ambarish Maharaj, you can take Sharanamrit. It's like not taking anything but also taking something to break the fast. So he took one drop. Sharanamrit. Then Durvasa Rishi, he came immediately, saying, who are you? Saying, now we've eaten and you're giving me your remnants. Then immediately, he removed one of his matted locks and threw it on the ground. And then Kritya Rakshasi, she immediately appeared from this matted lock of hair. But still, she could not do anything. Why? Because wherever the Santa goes, the Sudarshan Chakra, he's always hovering above, protecting him. And so he burned Kritya Rakshasi. And this way, the Sudarshan Chakra started running behind Durvasa Rishi. He was a yogi Rishi, Brahmarshi, Tapasvi, Rajarshi. Then the Chakra started following him from behind. And this way, he started running everywhere. Brahmalok, Vishnulok, Shivalok. So when he went near Bhagavan, then Bhagavan said, you see, the sadhu is my heart and I am his heart. Except for him, I don't know anything, and except for me, he doesn't know anything. So if the thorn is in the foot, then how can you remove the thorn from the head? after removing the thorn from the foot. So the devotees are like my feet. So go and ask forgiveness from him. So he was your Rishi Maharshi, his household is the king. And you should go ask him. Then Durvasa Rishi fell at Ambarish Maharaj's feet. Seems Sudarshan could burn him to ashes. So anyhow, he offered Ashtanga Pranam to Ambarish Maharaj with folded hands. He said, oh, now I've seen the glories of the bhaktas, of the devotees. See, Bhagavan has sacrificed everything for his bhaktas. Oh, please forgive me. He offered many prayers. Meanwhile, Maharaj Ambarish, he prayed to Sudarshan. Sudarshan left. Then he fed Durvasa Rishi. For 1 year, he was waiting. Saying, oh, what have I done? Ambarish Maharaj was thinking, I've done such a great offense. Why did I do Bharan? The Paran would have not been done, it would have been better. Because now you see, I've done Avagya to Sadhu. It seems like I'm giving him my remnants. It is not good. Then he was doing repentance. And you see, he was atoning. So by the time this one Ekadashi passed, 1 year had passed. Just by the power of Ambarish Maharaj's austerities. And so he made Durvasa Rishi happy. And then Durvasa Rishi said, now I'll go in all the three worlds and I'll tell everyone how glorious Bhagavan's bhaktas are. They have so much shakti. Bhaktas are not far from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not far from the bhaktas. So sadhus never act independently from their Prabhu. And they are never far away from him. And they don't let themselves be far from him. They have this mamata. And so they always make Prabhu happy by their seva. And then his bhaktas, his followers, they give the respect to his followers more than even Bhagavan himself. Because wherever the bhaktas are disrespected, then everything is ruined. No one will save that person. Even if Bhagavan is disrespected, no harm. By his Harinam, he can be saved. But by offending the Vaishnavas, then how can one be delivered? Hey, see, chanting Harinam, the offense to Sri Hari's Lord Sweet can go away. But the bhaktas, if Prad is done at their feet, then even one will not have any ruchi to chant Harinam. No desire to practice bhajan. To do austerities, one's mind will not be absorbed. Wherever he'll go, everything will be very dry, like desert, no rasa. At that time, even when he's alive, he's not happy. And even when he's leaves his body, he's not happy. It's very unfortunate circumstance. Therefore, Bhagavan says, my bhakta should never be disrespected or disobeyed. Or else, never disobey, disrespect them. Because the acharya is the embodiment of all devatas. He is my swarup. Why is he my swarup? Because he has Bhagavan in his heart. He doesn't carry anyone else in his heart except Sri Bhagavan. Bhagavan is always present with him. Bhagavan says, just as he has a place for me in my heart, I have a place for him in my heart. His seva is my seva. But it should be such a one-pointed bhakta. When Brahmadev went to Nityalila, and sometime before, my Guru Maharaj was like a shadow. It was like a stick. You would not be separated from him for even one moment. So in 1968, Paramahansa Devi called Maharaj. He called my Guru Maharaj and he said, "No, you go preaching." He said, "I've never gone outside even the temple. How can I go preaching? I cannot leave you and go anywhere else." He's saying, "I don't know all these things. May you go preaching. Go immediately." Immediately, Maharaj said, "If I go, then I won't come back. Even if you come back, don't return, you go anywhere, you go preaching. You should not stay here." And he said, "He tried so much." He said, "He folded his hands, he requested so much. But still, Param Gurudev was very stubborn. No, no, you must go. Preaching, you have to go now." See, Maya is very strong. Where will I go stay? How will I be able to have your darshan then? How will I be able to serve you? What have I done? Why are you sending me out to preach? So one Maharaj was starving, fasting, didn't drink water or anything. But Paramahansa said, "No, you must go now. You should go preaching now." He sent four sevaks. So they say, anyhow, Vaman Maharaj weeping, he left the temple. So then, anyhow, Vaman Maharaj had to go preaching. They say, where he left? When he left, then anyone, wherever he'd go, they'd call him, "Please come here, Maharaj." And one day he'd go so many places, preaching, doing kirtan, speaking harikatha, celebrating so many festivals. When would he come to the temple? On the Vyas Puja of Param Gurudev, he'd come. For 2-3 days, again he'd go out preaching. "Come out, come for Gaur Purnima, Parikrama, Ratyatra." And then he'd go. Whole year he'd be absorbed in preaching. Whatever collection he'd get, he would give it to some brahmachari and even send the brahmachari to Navdeep. He would not come to Navdeep, but they say because of his preaching, so many people joined. So when Paramahansa left in 68, then Guru Maharaj, he became the acharya. And they say, people knew from before. Meanwhile, in Assam, Guwahati, Silchar, Vasugao, Agartala, Tripura, so many places. All of India he preached. Manipur, Imphal, Tura, Meghalaya. This is the Northeast India, where India borders China and Myanmar, Burma. This is the border of India. And in Tura there in Meghalaya, 80% are Christians. Because the Christian missionaries, they converted all the tribals. And they say, preach there, he made a temple. Primary school, college, even university. And then he taught all the students. And even one of the students, he became Vaman Maharaj's disciple. He became a teacher there, a principal. And they say, the brahmacharis themselves became the teachers, principals, like how during Prabhupada's time, this Bhaktivinoda Institute was being run by disciples of Prabhupada. Similarly, disciples of Vaman Maharaj, they were running the school. And this is so many people joined the mission. And when Paramahansa went there, then Maharaj, he had to look after the Mathura temple, publish books. My Guru Maharaj, he'd go with all his god brothers. So my Guru Maharaj, he said, how can I go preaching alone? You should also come with me. So sometimes Gurudev would go preaching with him, sometimes Trikram Maharaj, all his god brothers would go with him preaching. Why? Because Vaman Maharaj would say, when people see all of you, then they'll automatically be benefited. Because just by seeing a Vaishnava, one becomes pure, purified. There goes Sundarbans, Bengal. Then there is no proper road there, no electricity. You have to cross the river in Sundarbans. And as soon as you get off the boat, then there's so much mud until the waist deep. And they say this wet mud is very difficult to remove from your body. The slush. No matter how much you rub your body and try taking it out, it doesn't come out. There, there's a village called Vidwapada. In village, all the ladies there, they're widows. Why? Because all their husbands have been killed by tigers. Because Sundarban there is very famous for tigers. Royal Bengal tigers. So wherever he went, he spoke Harikatha, he did Kirtan. And then they say, now he, Mahal Maharaj told Gurudev, now I'm going to Lakshmi Janardhanpur, you must also come with me. And so when Sadhusandhas would come, all of them would come to see the sadhus. But then there was an electricity. At the time there used to be this hurricane lamp. They use this hurricane lamp. And then they say, there'd be honey collectors, there'd be farmers. And then in the evening, Harikatha would go on. But they were all very scared that tigers should not attack us. Therefore people would guard them from all four sides. Because tiger would always attack. It's very common there. So Harikatha was being spoken there in a school. Big ground, school ground. Then there was no sound system, nothing. Many people had come. People were very faithful there. So after Katha, every day was a rule. They have some Mahaprasad we distributed. Some Kichdi, something. Even 12 o'clock sometimes, when Harikatha would go on till in the night. But still something would be given, some Mahaprasad. That time, what would they do? They'd dig a hole in the ground. And then they'd cover that ground. And then they'd take all the Kichdi and put it in that hole. And then again they'd take buckets of Kichdi from there. Now the Parikrama, you can see all this. Narsingapalli, Jagpit, Devananda Gaudiya Math. You can see this is how Kichdi was made. 20-25,000 people would be fed, because how can you store so much Kichdi in a pot? It's impossible. They dig huge holes in front of Narsingapalli, and then one of these holes they make Kichdi, and one of these holes they make Kheer. Just see Bhagwan's Leela. Even when everything would be finished, still the people they would get inside those holes and they would take little whatever Kichdi Kheer was left. They had so much faith in this Mahaprasad. So they say, whenever they'd leave, they'd go offer pranams to the sadhus. They'd give 1 paisa or even 0.5 paisa. Then there was 50 paisa. So there's 1 paisa, 2 paisa. And then there was like 4 paisa. Or sometimes they'd get some raw rice. And anyone who saw sadhu, they brought some honey from the forest in an earthen pot. Like with some leaves. Whatever they would bring, fruits and roots. You say all Maharajas, they would sit there and after Katha Kirtan during Prasad. They'd sit there until 10, 12 in the night. So at that time, they saw that everyone had left. Then a very skinny boy, he very skinny boy, he came, he offered pranams to Maharaj. So Maharaj asked, where you've come from? I've come from this Lakshmi Janardhanpur. So he said, my father, my brother, my mother died. So I live with my auntie. I live with my aunt here. I study in a school. So then Maharaj said, already come to my mat in Nadiv, that you can study in some school there. Then he said, all right. said, "All right, I'll come." So then, as soon as Maharaj spoke these words, then the other sannyasis left. After their preaching, they went to other different places. And after some time, he left home. Anyhow, he came along. And he saw this big temple, Devananda Gaudiya Math. So much opulence. He said, "Here, bhajan cannot be done. Why should I stay here? I live in the village, in the forest. And here, you see, there's only a building here made of cement and bricks. I don't want to stay here." He's saying, "I'll go to Vrindavan, I'll do bhajan there." So then from there, he caught a train. So then when he was in this train, the TT caught him in this place, Mughal Zarai. They check so much there. They caught this boy and they threw this boy inside the jail. In this jail, 20 people will be in one room. There's only one bathroom. There's only one bathroom where you have to drink water, bathe, everything. You have to do that. Sleep, do everything like animals. So then after 3 months in prison, then they'd leave him outside. So then he returned to Devananda Gaudiya Math. So when he returned to Devananda Gaudiya Math, Maharaj recognized this boy. When he saw this boy, he had sores all over his body. And he had typhoid. He was very skinny. And then he had this high fever. And so he had sores all over his body. And then he offered pranams to Maharaj. And Maharaj saw him. And then he asked him, saying, "Oh, you're the same boy. He has such high fever." Anyhow, Maharaj, he kept him there with him in the temple. And Maharaj himself would dab him with a wet cloth on his head, cleanse him. And then he told one brahmachari, "Oh, we should look after him for 2 hours each." He called the doctor there. And they said in 40-45 days, he recovered when everyone else was serving him. So Maharaj said, "I'm ready to fight even with Yam Maharaj, but I'll not let this person die. I cannot let any brahmachari leave." Gurudev said, "During my Guru Maharaj's time, Anangamon left, so I will not let anyone die in front of my own eyes. Any brahmachari." And anyhow, he became alright after some time. So then Maharaji put him in school. So then he put him under the Ganugatya and went off to Nivoti in Navadip. He looked after the storehouse. And after some time, Maharaj left to Mathura, told this boy, "No, you stay here and I'll return." But still he could not return, stay there. Then he came to Mathura then from Navadip. Then Maharaj put him in this Chaturvedi Vidyalaya. He learned Sanskrit there. And Maharaj himself would teach him. Just as you take a small boy on your lap and you love him, you take the small boy on his lap and teach him, love him so much. And then Maharaj, he sent him to Vishakhapatnam, then Jagannath Puri. He said, Maharaj had him study so much. Then Maharaj told him, "Now you speak Harikatha. When I go preaching, you should also come with me." In this way, wherever Maharaj would go, he'd take this boy with him. Before Maharaj, he had many sevaks. So then many left. So then he became Maharaj's sevak also. He'd make one sabji sometimes. If that sabji was not nice, he'd throw it away. If that sabji was not made, then he'd throw it away. He wouldn't give it to anyone else also. So I made this for Guruji. So no one else has right to eat it. Rather throw it away rather than anyone else eating it. Then make third time, then again, if it was nice, he'd offer it to Gurudev. Very good cook he was a very good cook. Maharaj was very happy with him. Why is Maharaj so happy? He was very intelligent. He didn't leave any shastras. He knew everything. So automatically everything was in his throat. Took responsibility for everything. Then Maharaj, then he gave him sannyas. saying him all responsibilities to do Bhagavad Sapta, speak Bhagavad Sapta, preaching in India, in abroad, everywhere. He was very dear to Maharaj. And after Maharaj left, everyone used to say, many astrologers came, they used to say that Maharaj, he went alone. So you have your three people. So then the astrologer used to tell me that you will go first. Maharaj, when before he left, he said, now you stay. Now where am I going? I'm going where Rupa and Raghunath are present. And when Mahaprabhu's preaching is going on, there I'll go and do seva there. Under the guidance of Rupa Raghunath. And all of you, when time is appropriate, I'll take you there also. You'll also serve there in another universe. But Maharaj, he took his Priya Sevak first. He didn't let him stay there. And then he took him. So why am I saying this? Because if there's place for anyone in a sadhu's heart, then all the qualities will come to him. All qualification. He is very qualified. When he'd go to Bombay, he'd go preach there in Prempuri Ashram, do Bhagavad Sapta there. There, there'd be 108 pots having lotus flowers. And then he'd say, if they're not proper, then I'll not speak Harikatha there. And then he'd say, Maharaj is going to come, he's going to speak. Maharaj would speak 15 minutes and then he'd speak the rest of the time. Maharaj would say, if you want to listen to Harikatha, then listen to his Katha. Because he knows all Siddhanta. He's Tattagya Vaishnava. The others will only speak this or that. And what will they do? They'll make some animal which has the head of a donkey, the tail of a lion, body of an elephant. But what he'll say is according to Shastras. He'll never say anything which is speculative. I say he had all of Maharaj's love and affection. There are other sevaks also. All of them staying with Maharaj also, nearby. Govinda Prabhu, he used to serve Mahaprabhu, he used to massage him. He used to cook for Mahaprabhu, he used to always be near Mahaprabhu. But who did Mahaprabhu like so much? One day Govinda Prabhu, he said, he told Mahaprabhu, that whole night you don't sleep, you're weeping always. Therefore, today I've told Sarvadhamma Raya Ramananda, you should never come to meet Mahaprabhu. Then he said, why did you stop them from coming here? Therefore they're not coming to meet me. And they say, no, Mahaprabhu said, I can no longer stay alive. Then he said, why did you tell them to not come and see me? Because you're always weeping. They come, you're always weeping. You're rubbing your face against the wall. You don't eat, you don't drink anything, you cannot sleep any time. I cannot see this. And Mahaprabhu said, you don't know my heart. You cannot understand. Without Sarvadhamma Raya Ramananda, I cannot stay even for one moment. So in Maharaj, he was like this. Say, Maharaj, he had so much love. Maharaj, he had the sevak with him. You see, in this way, the other sevak would say, then only he is speaking Harikatha, only he is doing kirtan. Let me also do something. You say, Maharaj has so much love for the sevak. So this is not in everyone's fortune. Guru Vaishnavas, they see who is surrendered, then everything is for that person. So they say, he served Maharaj whole life. And as soon as Maharaj said, you should go preaching, then he went. Shri Katha, Kirtan, go, Parikrama, go. He should manage, he did his whole life. And last time, the Maharaj desire, Maharaj took him away. And then what happened? The society trustees said, Maharaj's Samadhi is here. No one else's Samadhi will be here. No one else can be given Samadhi here. At that time, what happened? There was no Acharya, no one there. No one wanted to go there. Therefore, right near Maharaj's Samadhi, he was also given Samadhi. Or else all the others, they were given Samadhi in other places. But you see, the Sevak, he was given Samadhi right near Gurudev's Samadhi. See, very astonishing thing. I got so many phone calls, emails, that you should not give in Samadhi here. You should be given Samadhi on the banks of the Ganga, here, there, so many things. And I said, whatever is Gurudev's desire has happened, what can we do? And stop his will. He's saying, no, this is our property, no one can be given Samadhi here. But you see, if Gurudev has accepted one in his seva and has used him, then how can you just tell that person to leave? So therefore he was given Samadhi there, right where Gurudev's Samadhi was given. The person, he cannot be ostracized from Gurudev's society. So then this way, this sevak, he had written my name as a nominee in his bank account. So then his sevaks would come to me saying, oh, give us all the money because you're the nominee. And I was like, you see, you cannot, this money should only be used in the service of the bhaktas. Don't keep that money for yourself. Or that money is like poison. It will kill you. Any money you have, don't ever think of saving it and hiding it within yourself, keeping it within yourself. Or else that will may cause a great trouble. Whatever I'll get, offer to Guruji or offer to Maharaj. So use everything in the service of devotees. Now one is Guru Bhogi. Whatever he collects, he keeps everything with him. Then we'll see what will be the result. So I told these sevaks of Maharaj, at least do something nice with this money. But this we don't want to do. They said, just give us the money. Because your name is there as nominee in the account. So in this way. So even when Gurudev left, there was no one to lay even one brick for the Samadhi. And you see now how many years have passed. Still this Sevak Samadhi is not proper. So let's see what Gurudev's desire is. Therefore I tell all these Sevaks that if you want this money, then build a nice Samadhi for your Guru Maharaj. Therefore, one who preaches and who practices, he is Acharya. Maharaj would say, if you're only practicing, or if you don't preach, then Bhagavan will not be happy. Because Prahlad, the eternal Narasimhadev, Prabhu, how will you be happy? Then he said, oh Prahlad, you should make everyone else like you. I'm leaving you here. Why? I want you to train everyone else. Be like you. Pure. Pure devotees like yourself. That time, Prahlad Maharaj, he said, you see, one who is very selfish, he only goes inside the cave and he only chants, but he doesn't preach. Very bogey, big bogey. Bhagavan never bestows mercy upon him. Because he sees his own selfishness. There's no compassion towards the others. Doesn't teach anyone. Doesn't give his mercy to others. Doesn't love anyone. Doesn't try that others advance. From his very childhood, he said, Kaumara Chai Pragyatana Bhavatam Niyan Dhrulam Manusha Dharman Dhruvam Martatam. This is very rarely attained human form of life. Therefore from a childhood you do bhajan and then your whole life will never be cheated. You'll be strong. You see, one came when he was 9 years old, one came when he was 10 years old, 11. Once there was one devotee who came from Maharashtra. He was a Brahmin. Anyhow, he was roaming around, then he came to Mathura. Then he told Maharaj, I have come here, Maharaj. You know who Bhagwan is? And Maharaj said, yes. Can you help me meet Bhagwan? He said, why not? You stay here and I'll help you meet Bhagwan. He said, really? He said, well, I'll never speak lies. He said, I'll call other sadhus also. He called them here. Then he went all over Rajmandal, then he returned to Mathura. In Param Gurudev, when he came preaching, he came to Mathura. He said, oh, will you help me meet Bhagwan? And he said, see, you see, if you want to meet Bhagwan, then there are two types of Bhagwan. There is see, one person who knows what is vidya, knowledge, and what is avidya, ignorance, and who knows what is good, what is ultimately auspicious, and what is ultimately inauspicious. He knows how creation takes place, how pralaya takes place. One who knows these tattvas is Bhagwan. Means he is Sevak Bhagwan, Ashray Bhagwan. And the other is he who embodies the six opulences. Aishwarya, Virya, Yashri, Gyan, Vairagya, all the six qualities he who embodies, he is Sri Bhagwan. So first take shelter of Ashray Bhagwan. Then you can attain this Vishay Bhagwan. First, you have all his qualities, learn to respect, you say, and then worship him. And then when you become strong, so this way he heard all this katha, then he took diksha from Param Gurudev. Param Gurudev was very enthusiastic. He'd go everywhere preaching. Because he'd go to the military, Indian military, there in Mathura, he'd go preaching everywhere. He was from Maharashtra, Maharashtra Brahmin, he was Marathi. He went everywhere, all over Mathura, so many houses. His office, Diksha, his name was Krishna Swami. After Sannyas, his name was Padmanabh Maharaj. I was very happy with him. How was he? On Ekadashi. Every day he'd go on Bhiksha. He'd come and return at 3:30 in the evening. In the afternoon, he'd eat something. And then he'd work on publishing these Hindi books. He'd work until 11 or 12 in the night. And then do his Harinam. And then speak Harikatha, listen to Harikatha, do Kirtan. Very strong in following his rules, following his vows. In Ekadashi day, what did he do? He gave everything in charity. He gave his clothes away, his belongings, everything away in charity. And then he just put his gamcha on and he put this galavastra, that is sannyasi vyas. He also put his bair vasas out. And on the Adashi day, when everyone had gone bhiksha, I'd cook and then I'd gone bhiksha. I'd feed everyone and then I had to cook in the afternoon, then gone bhiksha. And meanwhile, I saw his room was near the kitchen. There Padmanabh Maharaj, he put a gamcha down and he was lying down. So I had called him Swamiji. Then he said, oh, Swamiji, what happened, Maharaji? Then he said, no, Guru Maharaj is calling me. No, I have to go. So where will you go? Then I called Maharaj. He said, there's a small temple there, Mathura temple. Maharaj's room was nearby. Kitchen was there. The temple was there, right there. Then I called Maharaj. And this way he came. And he put his head on Maharaj's lap. Then he was looking at Maharaj. He said, now Guru Maharaj is calling me. Now I have to go. Where will you go? I'll go to Vrindavan. No, he said, at least you become well again. Then you should I call a doctor in the hospital? He said, no. So by now he had already given everything in charity. So then I was rubbing his hands. It became very cold. Massaging him. Then Maharaj said, go bring some charanamrita. Then put some charanamrita inside his mouth. It'll drop. Then saying Radhe, 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 he closed his eyes and he left his body. only Maharaj, you see, his feet were on my lap and his head was on Maharaj's lap. Only both of us were present there. Everyone else had gone on Bhiksha. And what is the use of calling the doctor also? Because he already left. Just see how auspiciously he left his body. We see everyone has to leave, everyone should die one day. But why should one die in such a miserable way, suffering, cannot even breathe properly? In Chaitanya Babu Vrindavan Das Thakur is said that one who dies very auspiciously, he is actually, without Bhagavan's kripa, he can never die in such a way. Or else his body, one will have to suffer so much when leaving the body. So the brahmacharis came again. Then we all took him on our shoulders. Then we took him to the Yamuna. Then by then half was cooked and half remained uncooked. Then everyone told me, now you'll have to go bathe properly, clean the temple. Then I said, if the water of the Yamuna makes one pure, then you see, I don't believe in this Karmakanda smarta rituals. Why should I clean the temple again? So then I again cooked again, I offered bhoga, because he's a Vaishnav. They returned from the ghat, then so I distributed prasad to everyone. Then Maharaj asked him, didn't you bathe? Why should I bathe? Because if one becomes pure by touching a Vaishnav, then who will make us pure then, if it's not a Vaishnav? Then Maharaj, he told me, he said, you have good faith, unflinching faith in a Vaishnav, or else without such faith, then what is the use? You see, even fish, turtles, they stay in the water, but they're always drinking the water, you see, but still they smell so bad, foul odor. Therefore, don't have any material considerations in regard to a Vaishnav. Bathe yourself in the dust of a Vaishnav. Always think of his name, take his remnants. This is all you need to maintain your life and to fulfill all the desires that you have. This is not only to be sung, this is to be realized in one's heart. All these Kirtans are Natham Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So they say, if by touching a Vaishnav, if you feel that you haven't become purified, if you haven't been delivered, then you think just by visiting any Tirtha, pilgrimage place, you'll be purified, you'll be delivered. Don't think this way. Think that only by the Vaishnav you'll be delivered. Because you see, even the Tirthas, they go to Bhagavan and they complain, saying, people, they come and deposit all their sins here. How can we deliver from these sins? Then Bhagavan, he assured them, the moment a Vaishnav comes and his foot dust touches you, then all the sins will go away. For a Vaishnav, he himself restores the sanctity of a pilgrimage place. So is there any meaning in touching a Vaishnav's body and then again in going and bathing? Does it imply any proper understanding? Because a Vaishnav is greater than any Tirtha. So you perform his final rites and again you go and bath. You go and bathe again, thinking you become impure. This is not proper. Smartha Brahmins, they think this way. So then I went and I cooked, and then for 1 or 2 hours I slept. Then as soon as I slept and I came out, then at that time there was no time even to chant Anik, to chant Gayatri. So then I had to always sit on the bed and chant Anik whole time. Then I came out, or it's not possible. One time I came out. And sometimes I completed my mala in the night, or sometimes as Vishay Sangha, Satsangha. And they say, sometimes doing mala, even the beads are not moving. Because who are we remembering then? Cannot remember Sri Hari. Therefore I saw Ute Shadu Bhajan. One day we went on Rajmandal Parikrama with Maharaj. And they say, in the month of Kartik, Guru Maharaj is present with me, Janardhan Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Puri Gosai Maharaj, more than 40-50 sannyasis, disciples of Prabhupada, God brothers of Param Gurudev, 150-200 brahmacharis, and 10,000 pilgrims. So there's one Maharaj's college in Nandagaon. So we told the principal there that we're all coming. We should stay for 3 nights there in Ban Maharaj's college. 3 nights in Barsana, 3 nights in Andhagao, 3 nights in Kosi Shergad, three nights in Kama. Means Kamyavan. And they say we should stay for 3 nights in each place. And then at 10 or 11 in the night, Maharaj had given us the order that you massage all the sadhus. They're very tired. Give them hot water. It was very aged sadhus. Like Pujabhajanarthan Goswami Maharaj. So many. We used to serve all of them. So we massage their legs and we give them a nice oil massage. And as we were about to sleep, that Maharaj, he came at 11:30 in the night. Then he called me, "Do you see something? Do you hear something?" He said, "No." Then, "What is Maharaj saying?" We were thinking. Then Maharaj said, "Just see, go on the other side of Pavan Sarovar." Then he said, "What can we see in the darkness? There's no light, nothing." Then you see there, there's one sadhu there. Just see how he's weeping and he's chanting. How he's chanting right now, weeping, praying. Go, see. So then we were seeing from far. At that time the sadhu sannyasi, he had done parikrama, and then in the night he went on the other side of Pavan Sarovar, which is a forest. There he was offering dandavat pranam, rolling on the ground, weeping, saying, "Ah Krishna, Krishna, when will you bestow your mercy upon me, O Radharani, O Guru Maharaj, O devotees? Now I've become very averse, conditioned. I dress as a sannyasi, but I have no absorption. Because you see, there's vesh, avesh, and samavesh. Vesh is the external appearance, then there's avesh, absorption, and samavesh, complete absorption. Spring, oh Pavan Sarovar, oh Krishna, oh Nanda Baba, oh Rajavasis, purify everyone. Please purify a wicked soul, such as me as well." And Maharaj, just see the sadhana he's doing. Now to realize what caliber of a sadhu he is. And so we all went there. He, Gurudev was there, Trikram Maharaj, Vaman Maharaj, but he had no consciousness, this other Vishnu. At that time, Mangalarti, everyone, they had a bath and they came. Then the sadhu also came, the santa. Then Gurudev, he asked him, "Where were you the whole night?" Then he didn't say anything. Then his heart melted so much and he started weeping. He said, "Oh, I came to Nandagao. I used to think the Vaishnavas are not Vaishnavas. I didn't think Guru was Guru. Nor would I think that Bhagavan's kripa is upon me. For I desire that all of you bestow mercy upon me. All the Vaishnavas. Then only can I have darshan of Sri Bhagavan." So one who has this longing, then his heart always melts in separation. Then Maharaj would say in Harikatha. So who was this Vaishnav? This Vaishnav was Pujabhad Bhaktivedanta Vishnu Maharaj. So this way one whose heart doesn't melt while chanting Harinam, and his heart is like a thunderbolt, like a rock. This way if one's eyes don't weep in ecstasy while chanting Harinam, then heart is like a thunderbolt, like a stone. Or Harinam is he chanting? He has no faith. He doesn't respect the Vaishnavas. His heart burns when he listens to the glories of others, burns in envy and jealousy. He has no respect towards Mahaprasad, towards the Dham. The day Maharaj, during class, he gave so much mercy during Katha. All our Guru Varga. So if you chant Harinam, then your heart should melt. But see, his heart is like a stone. Therefore, Nari Sai Thakur sang, "Narari hiya pashanadiya kemona gadiyache." See, even stone can melt. My heart is not melting, but that's how my heart has become stronger than a thunderbolt, harder than a thunderbolt. See, in this, he described this in his kirtan. Jadi gauranga naito tabagaito kemona vdritate radharamayima premarasasima jagate janatokke. Say Gurudev, when he spoke Harikatha at Nandagao, he spoke about how one should do bhajan, how one should do kirtan. At that time when he was speaking Harikatha, there was not one single person whose heart wasn't melting, who wasn't weeping. Everyone was weeping there. So he purified everyone's hearts by his katha, by his kirtan. Because the words of a pure devotee has this power, this potency, this shakti, that within a fraction of a moment, one will be purified, pure. So what did Maharaj do? Then when he went to have darshan there, in the Nandgaon temple. There are many Pandas there. They all came and surrounded Maharaj. Oh, Maharaj has come now. Maharaj is preaching in the west. He has many disciples. So now it's a big parikrama party. So now he'll give us gold coins. So that time Maharaj said, all right, all of you come to the college. This Ban Maharaj's college, I'll give you whatever you want. Then Maharaj, he told me, now listen, I bought 400, 500 Vrajavasis here. They're all going to come here. And you'll have to give each and every one of them one golden coin. So I said, how can I give a gold coin to each and every one of them? Am I so wealthy? Because Maharaj was teasing me. During Radhashtami, when my Guru Maharaj had come, Parikrama Maharaj, they all come in Radhashtami. And because they were all so surprised that how can Radhashtami be observed in Kansa's place, Mathura? Because there everyone is chanting Radhe Radhe in the temple. This Radharani Shao means many Brajavasis would come carrying baskets on their heads as offerings to Srimati Radhika. So Maharaj said, just see, Mathura has become non-different from Barsana. Therefore, my Guru Maharaj, Parikrama Maharaj, they were so surprised. Just see, this place where Kansa resides has become non-different from Radharani's place. That everyone is dancing, carrying all these baskets on their heads. This is called Radharani Shao. So they say, Vaman Maharaj said, alright, I also wish to see this site. How this entire place has been transformed into Barsana. That time everyone came, all our Guru Varga came, Vaman Maharaj, Parikrama Maharaj. So Chao means this procession, where all the Vrajavasis carry these baskets on their heads. And then from top, the Maharajas, all the devotees, they shower flowers on all these Vrajavasis who have these flower baskets on their heads. So in this way, you cannot even imagine how this procession is. So many thousands of people are there. Even in Barsana, you cannot see such a crowd as the crowd you used to see in Mathura during Gurudev's time. And also these Mathuravasis are very wealthy. There's not one single house who did not come, because Gurudev preached in every single house there in Mathura. There was a big band also playing kirtans. And then Gurudev would tell one brahmachari, you go this place. He would tell another brahmachari, you go this place. He do kirtan this place, that place. And my Guru Maharaj was seeing everything. Parikrama Maharaj was seeing everything. And Gurudev, he went down to welcome all these Vrajavasis who had these big baskets on their heads. So many gifts would be bought. Sweets, clothes, gold, silver, that there won't be any place to even store them. Because these were their heartfelt offerings to Srimati Radhika. And then Gurudev, he would distribute all this to all the others. He would keep something for Radharani and distribute everything else. Then my Guru Maharaj is seeing everything. So Gurudev was teasing me. Why? That day I told one sevak, today is Radhashtami. So today bring some silver plates, silver glasses. Because my Guru Maharaj has come here. So then he bought me silver plates, silver glasses. Because he was a jeweler's son. Then he offered boga. Then what do you do? I gave the silver plate and I offered Mahaprasad to Guru Maharaj, Parikrama Maharaj, Maharaj. Then I gave the golden plate, the silver plate to Maharaj. Maharaj said, this is not okay. What have you done? Just see, you've given me a silver plate, but what about your Guru Maharaj? So then immediately I told the seva, go bring one more plate from Holy Gate. Then I bought one more silver plate and then immediately I put Mahaprasad there. Then he gave to Guru Maharaj. Then Guru Maharaj, he told me, and Parikrama Maharaj sitting nearby. And Parikrama Maharaj said, I am not Maharaja. He said, I am a bhikshu, I am a beggar. He said, I am a very poor man, I cannot eat on the silver plates. Just give me some remnants in my hand, I'll eat in my hand. My hand is my plate. But still, Mahan Maharaj wouldn't listen. Gurudev was sitting there. Then we got another silver plate. Then we put the silver plate in front of Parikrama Maharaj. And three of them were honoring Mahaprasad on the silver plates. Then Guru Maharaj called me, come here. He said, today I have done a big fault, committed a big mistake. You see, my Guru Maharaj is sitting there in Devananda Gaudiya Mutt. You haven't done anything for him. So he said, Maharaj, don't worry, when you're leaving, then I'll give you. Then he said, all right. Then Maharaj started teasing me so much. We'll have to give one gold coin to each of these Brahmins who are coming there. So then I've told all these Pandas that when you come to college, I'll give you one gold coin each. So you arrange these gold coins. Each and one of them. So many had come. So how can I feed all of them? I was thinking. Because it's a forest. Where can I get everything? And the Brahmins there especially, they like only puris, pakwan made out of pure ghee. They won't eat rice and dal like Bengalis. You see, here, all these Brahmin boys come. You see, anyhow they're eating rice, dal, all these things. Very surprising, because they never eat rice and dal. the time you see any Brahmin who would come, any Brajwasi, then you have to cook pudis, parotas, fried in pure ghee, 5-6 sweets. There is no other way. You'll have to give them something. And this way this invitation was given. So then I said, out of frustration, or who he has invited, all these people, he himself will cook. I said, because you see, I'm always living with my father. So therefore, I can also speak, say something in return. So I said that he was invited, all these Brahmins, he can cook. So why did you tell me? You don't have any other sevaks. Other sevaks also can cook, why only me? That time already it was 2 in the afternoon, I cooked for so many devotees, again you're telling me to cook, now I can't do anything, I said. But then still anyhow, again I start cooking. Then again I made pudis, then I fed all these Brahmins. So then I had spoken these words out of frustration. So I went and hid somewhere near Pavan Sarovar and I was chanting Hari Nam and became very sad. And Gurudev, I didn't meet Gurudev in the evening. And Gurudev, he told the others, go cook something. So that time they bought water from the well, thinking the dal can be used for dal. But then what happened, the dal became very hard. And this way, the rice wasn't getting soaked in water properly. It was salty water. So then already, then I came in the evening, then what happened? Gurudev, the brahmacharis, they were trying to soak dal in water, which is very salty. So then I said, how can you use this water? Go bring water from one well, which is 7 kilometers away. That water is pure, sweet. That may be used to cook dal and rice. How can you use this water to cook rice and dal? Because I knew everything. So previously I'd hid the water in another place because I knew these brahmacharis didn't know anything. So then anyhow I got the hidden water. Then again we used it to cook the rice and dal. So then the next day then we fed everyone. Then Gurudev, he told me, did you eat anything? Then you sit with me, then you eat something. Then Gurudev started shouting at the brahmacharis that you've all eaten nicely, but you haven't even seen if the others have eaten or not. Maharaj was saying, then any sadhu who comes, no matter how much he's worked hard, if you disrespect him, disobey him, that because he has come to Bhagwan's Dham, Leela Bhumi, in the month of Kartik during Parikrama, then how can you get Bhagwan's mercy? So therefore, don't do this. Oh, Rao Bhagyam, Rao Bhagyam, Nanda Gopal Rasha Okasam, Tramarvanandam, Una Brahma Sanatanam. See, who is Krishna? He is the friend of the Vrajavasis. Vrajavasis is a natural love for Bhagavan. Their seva is natural. Their friendship is natural. So if you don't have seva vritti towards him, then how can you possibly please Bhagavan? Bhagavan is not happy by worshipping him, unless the bhaktas are worshipped. Say, Maharaj, he trained these brahmacharis such a nice way. Once Maharaj is saying very proudly in Mathura, even if one person comes and offers 1 lakh to any of these brahmacharis, they will not leave. Because that time 1 lakh rupees was like 1 crore. But brahmacharis will never leave, even if you offer them so much money. Gurudev, he trained. He had one brahmachari study so much, trained him so nicely that they can never leave Bhajan Bhakti, never become separate from this line of Gurudev. Someone would say, when you go to Chaitanya Gaudiyamath, that time I'd go with Maharaj. 2 of us would go with him. So, but then Maharaj would say, Maharaj, you have 2 very strong brahmacharis. Now you have 2 dandas. They're always like a shadow. They never leave you. So then Maharaj would say, they're Gurudev's. Gurudev's wealth is everywhere. But they have given me this chance to serve everyone else. Why were they so happy? When we go to Chaitanya Gaudiyamath, because our Karthik during our Parikrama party would stay there for some days. when we go to Vrindavan. That time we'd go, we'd clean the temple, we'd cook, we'd do everything. We never thought this was in our temple. We go to Chaitanya Vadiya Mutton Puri. Stay there 15 days during Purushottam Mass. Sometimes 1 month. We do everything there. We say, just see these sevaks, they're doing everything. That we tell our sevaks to do, they don't even back up. But you see here, they're doing everything. Maharaj wasn't even staying with us. He was staying in Singhanya's house. But still, we do all the seva. So Maharaj would say, if you want to do bhajan, you should make the heart pure by this seva. And the heart is made pure only by seva. Well, there is no other way. Therefore, seva sadhguru panasadhguru panasatrahi cha atrahi. So, everything seva, the heart becomes so pure. The Siddha Swarup manifests, the Siddha Bhav manifests by such seva. Therefore, Chani Vesta, without Vaishnava seva, how can you be delivered? Maharaj would ask, are they all your disciples? Then Maharaj would say, they are all my Parakya disciples. The Swakya and Parakya. They are all my Parakya disciples. And I am their Parakya Guru. You see, just by giving Diksha, one cannot be Guru. Because one when becomes Diksha Guru, one cannot fight with that person. But we'd fight with Gurudev. Sometimes we'd even say, we had so much love. But in front of Gurudev, we'd have to be very, you have to fold your hands, you have to be very careful in front of your Diksha Guru. But we didn't have this Gaurabuddhi towards Maharaj. We had this Lokik Sadbandhuat. Then this Atma Kalyan can be had. Nothing should be hidden from him. Once Maharaj, he called me, he said, come here. I'll ask one thing from you. You have faith that if you ask 20 lakh from me, I'll give you 20 lakhs from me. Then I said, oh, if you want, you can give. If you don't want, don't give. Because that time 20 lakh rupees was a huge amount. Gurudev said, do you have faith that if you ask this money, I'll give it, or you know? So Gurudev said, if you don't have faith that I can give you 20 lakhs, then what faith do you have that I can give you Krishna Prem? Then I was thinking, what is Maharaj saying? Now he's saying 20 lakhs and now he's saying Krishna Prem. So is Krishna Prem. So Gurudev said, this Prem Bhakti is invaluable. If you have faith, then I can give you this invaluable Prem. You have this faith. When you have this strong faith, then you shall have this faith. Guruji can give me this Prem Bhakti. Gurudev, he called all the Brahmacharis. He said, today whatever you ask, I'll give. So what will you ask? Someone said, oh, my mind is going towards Maya. One said, my mind is not working. And all say many things. And finally, Maharaj would say, before I should think, is there any person who will ask for Vraj Bhakti, Prem Bhakti from me? And they say, I have come to give this, and all of you are asking for other things. You are not taking what I have come to give. Who has this intelligence? Then Maharaji went preaching in the West from 96. And sometimes he come to the temple only for like 10 days, 5 days. And then after that he didn't even stay for long in Mathura. So then I asked Maharaj, you're always preaching in the West. But then we have cheated of Harikatha. Of your Harikatha. Then he said, if there's internet website, if you go online, you can listen to this Katha. This Katha goes everywhere. But you think you and I are not online? If we have this connection, you and I have this connection, wherever I am, you are also there. I'm speaking Harikatha, you can also listen wherever I am. Just have this Sambandha, this relationship. Then you can listen to all this Katha, even though you're in another place, in another country. Therefore, Guru Vaishnavas, because they're very dear to Sri Bhagavan, they have all Shakti. We will listen tomorrow. Ooh.